normally they are able to figure these things out, but when are they figuring it out? And there's nothing worse than going into the locker room after a game that you lost and you're like, man, we should have started calling that wrinkle in the second quarter instead of waiting till the fourth. And I've been there. I've been that coach.
In an era that is becoming dominated by data and AI, the integration of technology and analytics has come to the forefront in coaching. In its ability to enhance decision-making processes and optimizing performance on the field, it's definitely something worth paying attention to. Whether you like it or not, technology is revolutionizing the way offenses and defenses are called during games. And as the rules change, allowing for more and more technology, this certainly will be something you deal with, whether you are utilizing it or you're playing against somebody else who is. Today we dive into how a coach at the high school level is using a modern approach to calling plays and making adjustments, focusing on the utilization of technology and analytics. He shares the firsthand benefits of such tools. We're joined by Jordan Ursic, the new defensive coordinator for the 2023 state champion Folsom High School Bulldogs in California. This past year, he utilized technology in his role as head coach and offensive coordinator for El Capitan High School, and this year he'll be applying it to the other side of the ball. We share our winning edge takeaways and ideas for implementation following the interview. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158 or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes. As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser. On today's episode, we're going to talk about a modern approach to calling an offense or a defense, utilizing in-game analytics and technology. And joining me to discuss that is the new defensive coordinator at Folsom High School, who was a state champion in 2023. He was previously the head coach at El Capitan High School in Merced, California, and that's Jordan Ursic. Jordan, it's great to have you here on the podcast.
Great to be here, Keith. Thanks for having me.
Your primary focus as a coach is you've really been on the defensive side of the ball, yet last year you called the offense for El Capitan as the head coach.
Yeah, that's correct. Last year was calling offense. I'm getting ready to go into year 10 coaching. 7 of those previous 9 were spent on the defensive side of the ball.
So in your approach to calling offense, I know you employed the use of technology to help you along the way. You took an analytical approach. Talk to us about that. What, first of all, made you decide, I want to do it this way. This is how I'm going to call offense. I'm going to employ some technology. I'm going to employ analytics, and here we go.
Yeah, so just being a young coach still, admittedly, I'm still getting my bearings of calling offense. I truly believe it is an art form. For those that have been doing it a long time, know what I'm talking about, and those that haven't, got their tastes of woes at times, I'm sure. But for me, it was just spending a lot of the spring and winter of 2023 and part of my professional development of figuring out how to be a better offensive play caller. And so I did a lot of research into that and figuring out what the best guys were using at my level and at other levels. One of these things that came up throughout that time was a platform called Modern Football Technology, which is a startup tech company out of Sacramento area. Read their information, talked about how they basically provide analytical services in game through their platform to get coaches data in real time, not just the historical data you're carrying over from huddle. And for me, that was very interesting just because I'm trying to figure out how to just be a better play caller, whatever it takes. And so I reached out and booked a demo, and their CEO, Christian Besiegen, I really liked what he had to say, came out and did the demo with me in person, drove 2.5 hours out of the way to come do it. So that told me he was pretty serious about it. And the demo went great. Totally saw how it could be applicable to my play calling, loved how customizable it was. And throughout the use of the season, even starting from the very first game, it made a huge positive impact on me as an offensive play caller because I had data in my ear through the headset with the guy that was running it. And at halftime, when I could actually get my eyes on it, that was just huge for us to be able to win a couple tough football games in a program that hasn't won a lot of football games in the past, broke a record for wins this year. And I think Modern Football Technology as a platform for us was definitely a big part of us winning some of those games because we got touchdowns in situations where we needed touchdowns. And that was driven by the data on that platform.
It's really cool to see what we can do with technology today. And you bring up a couple of points there. And I wrote an article, a blog post about this a long time ago on my first blog I had. It's still out there somewhere, an old free WordPress site. But I cited the work of Homer Smith, who in 1970 wrote a book called Handbook for Coaching the Football Passing Attack. And Homer, I think, was ahead of his time, just in the way he thought about the game. And one of the last chapters, he's talking about using computers to call plays, and he's envisioning a time where, you know, in the way he saw it in 1970 and in the limited use of computers, is that he would have all these observers and they would all input their data, and then it would give you or direct you to the right calls. Now, not exactly how it works today, but the point being that utilizing technology, you can become a better play caller because you have those analytics, that data that's live is reflecting exactly what's happening, not what you did breaking down the game the weekend before and going through and game planning during the week, because the game's very dynamic. It changes. Things happen. There's injuries. There's a player who's not playing as well. You can start to see where you can attack a defense. And we'll talk a little bit about how you might use it this next year, becoming the defensive coordinator again. But the other thing I think I pointed out in that article is jokingly, I remember a scene from The Office where Michael Scott is using GPS and saying the machine knows, and, you know, he drives his car into a lake. So that's also the other extreme, that you know, you don't necessarily take the technology and always follow. Like, there's always going to be the human element. So I would love to hear just that balance of that and how using something that is live giving you this is what's actually happening now as compared to maybe what you broke down. And then also, you, as the guy who still has to make the decision, deciding, yes, this is the way we want to go, or how, again, you've called it an art. We're talking about science with technology, but you've called the art of play calling. So the balance of all those things, Jordan, how did that work for you, and how did that come together?
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, for sure. I think you put it really well about where the balance is at. For me personally, I'm not looking at a tablet every play that I'm calling an offense and getting information every play, if that makes sense. I'm looking at my play sheet every play, my call sheet, and what I put together as part of the game plan. And most of the time, as a play caller, generally you're getting into a rhythm and you kind of know situationally what play you're looking for on that call sheet. For me, the guy that was running the platform, my quality control coach, he was in the box. I mean, he sat next to my offensive line coach, and my offensive line coach wore the headset. And so as details and things came up, I would ask him specific questions to find me in the reports. And it was very easy to access that information in under 10 seconds so that I could have a number that would help influence a play call if I needed something specific. And then obviously getting my eyes on it at halftime was huge, where I could just see a plethora of information. I think you can take it even a step further in the NCAA talking about allowing iPads on the sidelines and things like that now, where you can have several coaches looking at this now and being able to help give the actual play caller information in the headset versus the play caller just trying to find analytics in between plays. That's not very efficient at all, in my opinion. And yeah, so I think there's that element of just knowing what just the right amount is, knowing what you're looking for and how to find it efficiently. That comes as part of really good preparation and game planning, I think. If you're doing that really well, that's going to be a pretty fluid transaction for you during a game versus if you're going into a game totally unprepared. Yeah, you might feel like you're circling.
You're going to be Michael Scott driving into the lake.
Yes, exactly. So at the end of the day, like, your preparation is still the most important thing. And as you get more comfortable with the technology, you figure out that this platform requires you to have good preparation also. You can't just whip it out every week and just use it. There are a few things you need to be able to do as part of your game plan that you need to adjust on there week to week so that it reflects what you're looking for in your game plan. And so, yeah, I think part of that too is having really good assistant coaches on your staff and honestly just getting feedback from guys you could trust. Being able to look at an iPad in between series, being able to watch film in between series. And state of California high school football, we a lot of us have iPads or TVs on the sideline that we can use. That's legally allowed. That's obviously a huge difference maker. But yeah, so there's all those other factors too. But the analytics side of thing was probably the newest and most aha moment for me as a football coach this year, because it's just something so new and green to a lot of football coaches out there still.
So you mentioned, you know, being able to ask a question of, you know, your coach who has that information in front of them so that you can make a decision or you can make a play call. Can you give us an example of that, maybe of something you remember from this past year of exactly how that worked for you?
Yeah. Best example, our senior night game. We are backed up on the 2-yard line, and it is, I believe, third down. And our coach in the box was telling me to call outside zone. And I don't particularly love outside zone on the 2-yard line on 3rd and 8. But what I didn't know he was looking at was on the screen, we were batting 100 on outside zone. Every time we called outside zone to that point, we were 100%. We were getting a lot of yards in terms of our concept efficiency. And I was looking for a call, and he said, call it. I was like, all right, I trust you. And I call it, and it goes 98 yards for a touchdown. Just a huge moment. And it was great instincts on his part to give me that. And because it's not necessarily the call that I would have pulled on my call sheet or even in my head, but him just looking at numbers, we're 100% on this call. Let's call it. In a situation where we feel like we need it, and it goes for a huge play. That's just one example towards the end of the year. Throughout the year, I'm normally asking for concept efficiency percentage, which is something that this has. That's probably the most unique thing about it, in my opinion, that's incredibly valuable, is that it's not just tracking your yards per play. It's tracking the concept efficiency percentage of your play. And the example I gave today was if you ran Y cross 8 times in a game, that was your number one fastball call out of your formation. You're going to call Y cross a lot, the good look. And the first call, you hit the cross on the first hitch and it goes 80 yards for a touchdown. But then the 7 times after that, it's an incomplete pass. Your yards per play is still going to be skewed to show that Y cross is successful, but the reality is that it's not, and your concept percentage is going to reflect that. And so what I'm doing is I'm using the percentage to help drive when to call my wrinkles off of my main calls, right? So as I start dipping below 60% to 50% on my number one call out of my formation, that's when I start going into my wrinkles, because that means the defense is adjusting to it. That's when I start going to my wrinkles off of those looks, kind of keep the defense in check or maybe make them adjust back out of that look. And then from there, if I'm starting to dip below 40%, I'm looking at my big home run calls. How am I going to take advantage of how they've adjusted to these looks? And then I'm going to take the big play over the top on them. But all that was influenced by the concept efficiency percentage. And I'm just asking, hey, what is my efficiency percentage on Berkeley? And all you got to do is click on reports, concept success, Berkeley, you're at 65%. Okay, well, I'm probably going to keep calling Berkeley if I want to call Berkeley if I'm still batting around that 65% range. So that's just kind of the main way that I was using it as far as that goes.
So you mentioned just the ability to get that data quickly and to, as you've said, as you start to add coaches to the mix, you know, like you said, the guy up there who's an analyst. But really, as you were talking through a couple of these examples, you made me think of that. Really, if you do this right, you know, your guys who have that information in front of them, there's going to be points where things are, it should trigger them getting you the information, because they see, okay, as a concept, for example, and what you just said there, like, it's time to hit these wrinkles that we game plan for, right? Now is the time, rather than always. You know, I think we got feel for those, like, okay, I think I've run this enough, and now, you know, it seems like they're stopping it. You actually have the data that shows, yeah, they've adjusted to this, so now it's time to run our, you know, our constraint play off of this.
Yeah, it's not, you're not making the decisions retroactively. That was the three other schools that I visited about with it in the last couple of days. It's all the same thing. It's talking about these things that were at good football programs, you're really already doing these, but are you doing it at the right time? So if you have a good staff, normally they are able to figure these things out, but when are they figuring it out? And there's nothing worse than going into the locker room after a game that you lost and you're like, man, we should have started calling that wrinkle in the second quarter instead of waiting till the fourth. And I've been there. I've been that coach. Had a ton of success on a wrinkle in the fourth quarter, but waited till the fourth quarter to call and should have started calling in the second. And what this is allowing us to do is we're making those decisions in real time, so we know exactly when we need to start calling it and not looking at it after the fact saying, you know, crap, we should have called that earlier.
I want to talk more about some of those in-game adjustments, but go back to something you said too, is that there's things that you need to do as part of your game planning process over the course of the week to prepare you to call plays like this, to prepare you to use the technology the right way. Like you said, you're not just whipping out the technology on game day and saying, okay, machine, tell me what I should do. That this is a process you guys are integrating really into a workflow over the course of the week that just carries on through. So talk to us about what you need to do over the course of the week, utilizing technology. And I think one of the questions I really have with this, is this more in your workflow or have you become more efficient using it?
I think it's more and it's less. I think there's more in the sense of it's a little bit more in terms of I have to copy and paste two extra things a day, which does not take very long. And it's less because all of my post-game analysis is now done during the game. So when I'm done with this game, all I have to do on this platform is hit export, and it puts all of my calls into Huddle. So instead of, I used to be the coach, I was up till 3 a.m. every night after a game because I was doing all the post-game analysis, all the data entry, all that stuff. Just tired the next day, pretty much worthless, not able to enjoy myself as much as I would like to after a game. This now allows us that we can put all of that information in right after the game and it's done. It takes 30 seconds versus 3.5 hours or more breaking down a post-game film. The other thing it'll do is it tracks all of your stats, and now it'll upload to Max Preps also. So it's a pretty unique and feature there that is something that I've, as a head coach, spent way more hours on that on a Saturday and Sunday than I have ever cared to. With that, now what I am doing on Sunday night after our initial game plan meeting and then Monday and Tuesday is I am adjusting the call sheet, and then I have to input the call sheet into the platform. But again, it's not like I'm retyping everything. I just have to copy and paste it off my Excel sheet into the platform, and then it's there. But I do have to update it throughout the week because you don't want to go into a game on Friday and the same call sheet is the same call sheet from last week and you didn't update it during that week, if that makes sense. And then I think a lot of the way that colleges are using it now is that you can use it at practice and tracking, you know, how efficient are you being at practice running these plays? If you're getting a lot of team time on offense like we are and a lot of the colleges are, you're going to want to know, okay, are my kids actually able to execute this really well? How is it hitting? How does it look? And you're going to make tweaks to your call sheet throughout the week, each day. And when you do that, you just need to copy and paste it and update your call sheet back in the platform. Make sure it matches up.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, do you feel, again, as a staff, as you're sitting down over the course of the week, as you're looking at the different things on the game plan, you're certainly now evaluating in practice what's working, what's not, and tweaking the call sheet, what some things being de-emphasized, some things being taken out, maybe even some things being elevated in your game plan. But the thought processes and decision-making and more of an understanding of, okay, here's the plan of attack, this is what we're thinking. And when we start to see these numbers, or we start to see this efficiency, or however you want to look at it, this is where we go. This is, you know, kind of an if then. This happens, then we're doing this. So does that kind of come up more now in this process of working with your staff, understanding the game plan, even working with your players over the course of the week about how this is going to play out on game day?
Yeah, so we have it's actually the same exact model. I think I stole it from Bixby High School in Oklahoma. They call it playing baseball. They talk about your fastballs, your curveballs, and your strikeouts. And so for us, when we're doing that throughout the week, we're working on a worksheet that has our offensive structure by formation. And then with each formation, we're coming up with fastball calls. And then what are our wrinkles, which are those curveballs? And then what are our strikeout calls, which is our big plays off of those adjustments when the defense does adjust? And same thing I spoke at the Bay Area Clinic for Playbook a couple weeks ago. How we use that is we want to see fastball success over 55, over 60% in that area. We really want to see it over there. And as long as it's over that, we're going to keep calling it. When it starts dipping below that 60 to 55 range, where it's not quite hitting, you know, one out of two, we're going to start looking into our wrinkles. You know, how are they adjusting, and what's going to keep them honest, keep them from overloading the box on a look. You're running, you're killing them with GT counter. Okay, what's your wrinkle off GT counter? Well, maybe pull it and throw an arrow off of it, right? That's a really, really great look to have. And knowing, you know, when to do that is based off that number as your wrinkle, right? And then, okay, from there, our strikeout. Okay, let's take GT counter, figure out how to incorporate it into pass protection, and let's throw a play action pass off of it. Now we're actually throwing the ball down the field and trying to get the safeties to freeze their feet so we can throw switch verticals or something behind it, right? Where those DBs are triggering down really, really hard, trying to get extra bodies into the fit. And now we're going to take advantage on that with play action.
So we took a look at this game planning process. What we didn't mention, and we talked about how this works while you're in a series. We'd love to hear more about the workflow and what this looks like in between series. And you also mentioned it's huge at halftime.
Yeah. So in between series, I'm going to comb through my call sheet. I'm pretty much trying to, I used to put like, you know, checks or like pluses and minuses by things. Now, like, I'm getting all that information up top. So in between series, I'm trying to look at, okay, what have I not called yet? Is there a formation we haven't brought to the table yet? And then the same thing, like tapping on that concept efficiency percentage for certain concepts that I'm really using a lot of, and I know I'm using a lot of. I'm like, okay, where are we at on this? And so that in-between series, it's looking like that. At halftime, I'm trying to get that data in front of my face. And part of that is because I'm looking at the defensive data that's being tracked now, where I'm looking at, okay, is the defense we're playing actually holding true to their identity that we game plan for? Meaning like, okay, on second down, they are more often than not going to be in a too high middle of the field open structure. And our historical data from our huddle cut says that, right? And you can see that on the platform, but in game, it's showing, hey, second and seven plus, they're actually going to more cover three and closing the middle of the field. All right, that's an interesting thing that I wasn't paying too close of attention to, but now I know that. I'm getting my eyes on more what the defense is actually doing specifically in terms of their scheme to us, and are they holding true to who their identity is? Are they not holding true? And then where are they not holding true? And then what adjustments do I need to write down on my call sheet? We teach concepts, not plays. So we can generally run any concept out of any formation off of any motion. And our kids know what they're doing because it's the same rules retaught over and over and over again. And I think really good football is just done that way on the offensive side of the ball, in my opinion. But with that, I'm writing down where I need to make the wrinkles, and it's maybe not things that we specifically practiced that week, but our kids know how to run it. We're just giving them the different look, right? The same example is like we saw a team that historically checked to, you know, cover four rails versus empty historically, meaning that they were just bailing true zone coverage, quarterback eyes, deep force. But for some reason that game, they were actually checking to man, and they were checking to a cover zero look. That data was able to inform me that at halftime, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Every time I've gone to empty, they've actually checked zero, not four. And we didn't have a lot of empty on call sheet that game. So like, it wasn't something we had really particularly thought much on because we didn't have a huge empty sheet, but that influenced us as we came out in the third quarter, hit them on a huge, huge play because we had a good play that we knew we could run out of empty to cover zero. And it worked. It's 50-yard touchdown pass. First time we called it, it wasn't on the call sheet at all. Seeing what the defense's adjustment was as their numbers were going through the first half, I wrote that play down on the call sheet. We called it late in the third quarter. It was a huge touchdown, really swung the momentum of the game our way to win that.
It seems like one of the things, one of the benefits of utilizing this technology is it is helping you create more explosive plays. And my question is, have you seen explosives increase for you in utilizing something like this and having a workflow like this where you're able to see the opportunity?
Yeah, definitely. My first year calling offense at the varsity level, that was something I really struggled with, is I could not figure out how to create more explosive plays. I was kind of the chip and grinded down the field guy, and they would make adjustments and I just couldn't figure out how to exploit it. But this is, yeah, definitely created more explosive plays. Not always the plays are intentionally meant to be explosive, but I can't even count how many times we threw a hitch RPO, just a hitch. Simple, like pre-snap read. The outside linebacker didn't cover up the slot. And we rip the hitch out there, and the slot makes one guy miss, and he's gone 50 yards. So it's something as easy as that, creating explosives for you, right? Because you're knowing when to call those wrinkles. And sometimes those little simple adjustments like that are the big explosives. We had several times we threw an arrow off of inside zone as a relief. Same way Lincoln Riley was doing it this year at USC. And it was something that we didn't think that was going to be a great play for us in theory going into most games. But the reality was the timing of it allowed it to be an explosive play. So when we did pull and throw the arrow and we had the timing to know when to call that arrow relief, that was usually going for a lot of yards, at least 15 or more, because it was the timing of creating the explosive, right? And then eventually leading into touchdowns where it's, yeah, that's not a play that you would typically think as explosive, but it's the timing of when you call it and having the analytics that drive when you call it that made it explosive.
So this coming season, you're going to flip the table here and you're going to be on the other side of the ball, but you're planning on using the defense model from Modern Football Technology. Tell us how you envision this working now for you on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's kind of Modern Football Technology's latest development is the defensive platform. Most of the stuff prior to this has been for offenses. So the defensive side, it works similar platform. So as long as there are, you know, you've got coaches that have been working in the system, it's not really doing anything new. I think that's the best part is I was messing with it already a couple days ago and just getting a feel for it. And it was the same streamlined workflow as the other ones. And so it didn't take me very long to figure out at all. And it's going to keep getting better, right? Because as I'm using it, I'm giving the team more feedback and then they're making adjustments off my feedback. So like one of those things that is going to be coming to the platform is we're getting a location report that's done specifically for tight end and running back location. And again, all customizable to however you want to do that. But the tight end and running back location will tell you, you know, if the tight end is to the strength, 80% run, or if the tight end is offset away from the back, 80% pass, right? Like they're all those different tendencies based on the tight end running back location. The one that I always look at from a defensive perspective when I game plan and then how they adjust to our front and pressures when we actually see them is the running back location. And I can't count how many games we would go into and we would know where to thin the pressure based off of the running back's location because we would know where the slide was and wasn't going in which direction that was. A defensive coordinator at Rocky Mountain College, Joe Dunning, great coach that I worked for. He had it called BTB, which just meant blitz the back with a fire zone pressure because they always knew you were going to get the man side on the backside. And so that was a great way to get into that pressure call, right? Some teams in their back opposite, but being able to know that if the back is on the right, the slide is going to the right, he's going to cross QB face and he's going to work blitz pick up to the left. Or if he's in a pistol alignment, they never pass the ball with the back in a pistol alignment. You always know that's going to be a run. So all those different types of things, right? We can pick up what the offensive line is doing based on the running back's location more often than not. And that is one thing that the defensive platform is going to allow me to track is I'm going to be able to check the back's location. And then in game too, we've seen teams where going into that week, the slide was always away from the back in pass protection. And then we get into that game and they're doing the opposite, right? Because they made a game plan for our fronts and our pressures. Okay, so how do we combat that? All right, well, the in-game data is going to tell us that information. And in me, I'm not really watching where the slide is going as I'm calling defensive plays. When I'm calling defensive plays, I'm making sure our guys are lined up correctly and in the right run fits. And then thirdly, in the right coverage fits. But I'm not watching where the slide is going. But that is something that up top, you know, that platform is tracking that information, and in between series, that's going to be able to influence what pressures I'm calling based off of that.
Coach, it's obvious you're a believer in utilizing this technology and what modern football technology specifically has done. I'm sure there's a lot of coaches out there maybe skeptical of, should I do it this way? Is it worth the investment? What are your thoughts for that coach? Maybe is, you know, interested in this, but really on the fence of, can this work for me?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think if you're on the fence, at least get a demo and see it for yourself, if that makes sense. But that's a no-brainer. Just being able to meet with the team and being able to see it in action, I think, is what made me a believer in it. Everybody can talk about it. There's analytics in other places, whatever. At the end of the day, me seeing it work in real time, that's what sold me on it. The next thing is, too, is just, it's not something that is, oh, it's only good for certain teams. It's not only good for Folsom defense. It's not only good for Folsom offense. This is a platform that is entirely customizable for the coaches. You get to change the language and the landmarks, and you can skew how you want the data to present itself to you based on how you see football. Because there's, you know, I don't believe there's one right way to do anything. Folsom Highs ran a very successful spread air raid offense for almost 20 years now, and De La Salle runs the split back veer, and they still run the split back veer under center. They both won championships. So at the end of the day, there's multiple right ways to do something. And so that was just my biggest takeaway, is that how incredibly customizable it was for coaches, and being able to work with a team that really listens to the coaches and takes the feedback of the coaches to apply it to the platform to make it even better for you. You know, one of the things that I talked about when they were first introducing the defensive platform was, I legit want to know field and boundary run tendencies. Because especially if they're a zone team, like a wide zone or an outside zone team, they're not really running to a strength. They're running to the field or the boundary. And there's tells on that. So one of the things that, like, I get feedback, I was like, you guys need to figure out how to set this up to where it gives me a field and a boundary report. Because I really, really legitimately need to know not just the left and right direction or the strength direction. I need to know the field and boundary direction of a play and the percentages on that during a game. And they made that happen. I think he brought it back out to me like a few weeks later, and it had it in there, and it works. So like that was just a really cool part for me, is that, you know, they're trying to figure out how to make football coaches' lives better. And they're not in it to try to get rich quick or anything. Like, they're just generally enjoying what they're doing and making football coaches better football coaches.
I love it, Coach. I certainly appreciate you sharing and giving us insight into something I think is going to be an incredible tool for a lot of coaches. I definitely see this catching on, and catching on quickly. Certainly would love to have you back and talk more about this as you get that year under your belt, and talking about how it worked for you on defense. But best of luck to you and the Folsom Bulldogs here in 2024.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Keith. Thanks for having me. Huge fan of the show, so just a great honor to be on here and talk.
Here are Winning Edge takeaways and ideas for implementation. 1. Look into utilizing technology for real-time data analysis. You can benefit from incorporating technology like the modern football technology platform to access real-time data and analytics during games. This can help in making informed decisions, adjusting strategies, and identifying opportunities for more successful plays. Coach Ursic pointed out several examples of how this was effective for him and allowed him to make better decisions that he might not have made if not provided the real-time information. 2. Find customizable and adaptive game planning tools. Any platform you adopt should have customizable features to allow you to tailor the data presentation to match your style and team's needs. Technology should not constrain you in your way of doing things to fit the technology. It should be just the opposite. By adapting the platform to your preferences, you can effectively analyze tendencies, make in-game adjustments, and enhance your game planning process.
And 3, utilize these tools to enhance your play calling and explosive plays. Using data-driven insights to improve play calling should have some objectives that enhance what you already do. An example we talked about was creating more explosive plays and optimizing offensive or defensive strategies. By tracking concept efficiency, adjusting based on real-time data, and identifying opponent tendencies, you can increase the likelihood of successful plays and game outcomes. Remember that it's all part of a well-constructed workflow that integrates the technology from end to end in your processes. It's not just something pulled out and used on game day. Be sure to check out Modern Football Technology, the platform that Coach Irsic and the Folsom Bulldogs use. The link is in the show notes. Follow all we're doing at coachingcoordinator.com and follow us on X at Coach K Grabowski.